It's time to know your lane.
Yeah. Why are we going Mario 2 weeks into season? We sat on benches and watched Mario Lemieux. I'm sure Mario Lemieux made him look like an idiot, because I know he made me look like one.
This is Overdrive with Hayes, Noodles, and the O-Dog on TSN 1050.
Got Lieutenant Dan back after the New Year's party. You're a mess.
Were you just bellied up? Man. Like, actually, at any point did you feel like Lieutenant Dan on New Year's? Just bellied
you
up to the
like
bar.
You've been sleeping underneath your bed for 4 weeks.
I'm still in such a dark place, man. I've lost weight.
You do look skinny.
Thin, I'm pale.
But that's the thing, pale. You haven't seen daylight.
I've been outside three times. 3 times in 10 days.
I saw you. Your wife posted a picture of you just laid back on a chair, and it was like you were this guy that...
It was Bernie Lomax. Living, yeah. It was a dead
Bernie
body
Lomax.
Laying
it was like,
on a chair.
Come out and look at this guy.
First time outside. That was the first time I had been outside in 7 days.
I said the same thing. I said to Steph, I looked at it, I'm like, would you look at this guy? He looks like he hasn't eaten in weeks, and you are pale. It's like they were hiding you in a closet.
Dude, it completely knocked me out.
Listen, you're in...
You've been in that
I've been
world
there.
Before.
You've been
down that road. It knocked me out. And the thing is, it happened so quickly. Like, the 2 weeks leading up to it, I was a mess, but I still had somewhat of a routine because I was still coming to work. I was driving. I probably shouldn't have been driving. Somehow, though, it got to a point. I was lucky enough to get the surgery. But as I was saying beforehand, I didn't know which surgery I was getting.
Right.
So it was like surgery roulette.
Like whatever came up that day,
I snapped out of the stupor about 3 hours post-op. And immediately, it was almost like a pregnancy where you're like, was it a boy or was it a girl? I snap out of it and I'm like... What happened? Like, did you take it out, which means I'll be walking in 3 days.
Right.
But I'll have knee problems for the rest of my life. Or did you try...
How bitter would you be if they said, you will walk out of this surgery and you are what you are now? You are what you thought you were.
What do you mean? Like, I'm not in a good space forever?
No, like if the doctor had said, this surgery is very simple. You will walk out of the hospital after this and you'll be all good. Like, walk out.
Right.
And you are what you are now, which is basically you can't do anything.
Well, then you can't live like that. You know? I mean, that wouldn't be an option. I hope not. Anyway, but they decided try to repair it and try to save it. So, you know, I'm in a tough spot. I get the bad knee brace. I was actually at a park yesterday because I'm just trying to get out of the house.
There, man?
Yeah, my wife. Well, I didn't walk there. I didn't take the crutches to the park. Like, we all went to a park.
Do you have a wheelchair at home?
No, I don't.
You need one, man.
I can't do it, man. I cannot be a wheelchair.
Dude, you're Lieutenant Dan. That's your new nickname, Dan.
LT.
LT or Dan?
LD.
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 Yes, LD.
Yeah, I can go with that.
I don't know why LT.
That works. We've been looking for one
LD.
For a long time.
I like Dan better because it's just...
Yeah, because then we'll be on Danny, pass me the, you know.
Danny boy.
Danny, I think Dan will stick.
All right, Dan works. I'm fine with that.
Well, LD,
there's a backstory,
let's start off with
makes sense.
Let's start off with LD and see if that sticks, and then we can transform into Dan. Or...
Well, hey, I put it out on Twitter. You're coming back today, and you would have a zillion hot takes.
Yeah, like, what have you been
like,
dying
the floor
to,
is yours.
What have you
like,
been
what
dying
are you
to
dying
say?
To say?
Well, there's a bunch of things that I missed out on. Last week, what I found to be remarkably annoying is how blown out of proportion the Stanley Cup odds story was. Like, no one understands the way Vegas works.
Right.
Like, remember when the Leafs were the number one team, according to Vegas, or had the best odds or the worst odds, depending on which way you look at it?
Oh, I know that, because there were 800 emails internally.
Oh, immediately, I'm watching Nats hockey, I'm watching SportsCenter, and everything's like, Bodog, 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 Vegas thinks the Leafs are going to win the Cup. No, they don't. That's not the way it works.
Yeah,
the way
it
works is...
They think right now at this particular point, just like the power rankings, they go up and they go down.
No, it's not even that.
What is it?
It's that lunatics from Toronto are hammering them in Vegas. And I have a personal experience. My buddy was down there last week. He sent out a big chain email saying, I'm going down. I'm going to place futures on them winning the cup. Who wants in? So what you're getting is Vegas is looking at it saying, I don't think they're going to win, but we have to hedge our bet here. If we're all these lunatics are putting down money at 15-1.
So yeah. You're saying Vegas just trolls different markets and tries to get the horny people to say, I love it, I want it.
Exactly. They protect themselves with a line.
Right.
And that's what it was, because it was 14-1.
Right.
So they were the 7th or 8th team most likely to win a cup, which I think can make sense. You can make a case for that.
Sure.
I'm not sure there's a cup favorite, quite frankly, the way things are working in the NHL.
Right.
But the reason they moved the odds was because people from Toronto, Leaf fans, don't know how to handle it.
Well,
so they're hammering the Leafs to win a cup.
I'll tell you.
So they're like, forget it.
Every Joe from the Bridge with a little bit of cake is saying, you know what?
Put
I'm
it on a
call
future.
In Vegas, or I'm
exactly. And I'm telling you, my buddy was down there this
weekend.
How does
that work, by the way, a future? Do you just like go online and you get an email?
Well, you do it with the sports book. So you go in there,
I
you
don't
get
know
a,
what that is.
You go into a book
you go to
in
off
Vegas.
Track betting, or you go down
the, well, down there it's any casino has a sports book for the most part.
Right. So you don't have to go to Vegas to do it.
Well, you don't have to, but if you are in Vegas.
Yeah, in Nevada you're allowed to.
Very easy to do. You walk in, you say, here's $20 I want on the lease to win the cup. And if they do, and you've got them at 15-1, you're cashing in. So Vegas, they just looked at it and said, this city is crazy right now. Yeah. These lunatic Leaf fans
I was dying for your
are
take on
hammering
that
money on them. So we have to adjust it just in case they do win.
Yeah, which
because
is fair.
If they do win, we're going to get rinsed.
Yeah, so we have.
Like, I was screaming. I'm like, can someone please explain why they're moving the odds? It's not because they started the way they started.
We needed clarification because.
Man, you're good immediately. Like, you're really good.
You're on. Because he's been practicing for a week in
dude,
his chair.
Dude, have you been doing that? Have you been sitting on the couch saying, Noodles, oh dog, you gotta think about this? Like, have you been?
I've been talking to myself because it's.
Because I know in our industry, sometimes you're in a restaurant or something, you rehearse. Like, have you been just saying, looking in a mirror saying, Noodles, you're completely crazy right now?
I'll be honest. I was on with the Quizmaster yesterday morning. What is it, Sunday morning? So I talked to him yesterday morning. And in my mind, I was still like, having a retort to some of the conversation we had, and I called Steph, and I was talking like I was talking to the quizmaster, and she's like, "Who are
you
talking to?"
What did you tell Steph to leave you alone?
No, I was like,
"That's what you probably wanted to say to the quizmaster."
No, I was arguing about like Price as compared to somebody else. I was like, you know, Price has a Hart Trophy and a gold medal, and Steph's like, "What? What are you talking about?" And I think it was just because Price's tough start. I was trying to justify, like, I'm not giving up on Carey Price 2 weeks into the season.
I'll tell you what. I got a dilemma on my hands about hockey. I have to do this show every year, Fantasy Hockey Draft NHL. And I went on there and said, I'm drafting the best goalie in the NHL, Carey Price. Now I'm in a situation where I'm thinking, do I dump him?
No, don't dump him.
Well, but what about the team, though, in front of him?
They'll be
like,
fine.
Think about it. That might be a poll. Do I dump him or do I keep him?
Who are you going to go with? Scott Darling?
I don't know. But all I know is Carey Price. Like,
yeah, he's had a tough
start. Fantasy. It's fantasy. Like, I just have to think, like, what guy could get me on track? Because I've been getting... I actually am, like, kind of paying attention to it this year and not mailing the whole thing in where I just pick guys and I don't even make trades.
I don't know how to play those, but
I would always go for work.
But I would go with a guy who plays a lot of games and their team is solid. So Pekka Rinne, Jonathan Quick, Cam Talbot.
They're all gone.
Corey Crawford.
They're all
gone.
Well,
Price is the number one. Like, I would have taken Carey Price and don't move away from
I know,
it.
But Jamie, you've got to understand, it's fantasy. So if it's not working out and I'm getting rinsed in my fantasy, I got to make a change.
I don't know what you mean, getting rinsed in your fantasy.
Well, because...
Like, is it weekly?
No, you're probably in, like, a rotisserie.
Goalies give you points for this
right,
and that.
Right. For wins, for shutouts, for save percentage, for goals against,
the point of it is, I never thought I'd be in a situation where I would look at my team and say... Man, like I might have to move my guy, my goalie.
Well, he will turn it around.
Yeah.
If the team will is a completely different story. I mean, he'll get his stats on track.
Right. He'll get wins just because he's Carey Price, and he'll get his stats organized too.
But they are a hot mess.
Yeah.
They're
terrible,
are
right?
a hot.
Ooh. He
mess.
Called it a tire fire. It's
It's really gross, and they don't know how to handle it in Montreal. Like, they are freaking out.
Yeah.
As you can understand. But here's one thing.
Tony Marinaro is...
Oh, they're losing it. They're calling for... Here's the problem, though. I don't know if Bergevin can survive this. GMs very rarely, if ever, get let go during the season.
Right.
I don't think it's going to happen during the season, but I would be...
I think the last three GMs in Montreal have been fired during the season.
Okay, so maybe it will. Maybe it will. Because if I was an owner and I lost faith in him, I'd say get rid of him, because you can't give him the keys to the car, because who knows what he might do next.
Right.
So from that standpoint, if you lose faith, then move on. But I don't think that's going to happen anytime soon. But with Carey Price in place, you can't blow it up.
No.
You can't. You can't tank.
No.
You are tank proof because of him alone.
Agreed.
If he starts 65 games, you're getting 80 points. You're getting 80 points. You may not get north of 90 or 95, but he's going to give you probably 80 on his own, which means you're picking 10th, picking 12th.
And so, we're talking about an organization, Brian, where they had PK Subban, Carey Price, and they were like Toronto. If you could just find that guy up the middle, that star player, and then supplement around him, then you're in business. This group of players could probably contend for a cup. And now there's no PK Subban.
Yeah, but Shea Weber's just as good as PK Subban, in my opinion.
You know what? Shea Weber's a hell of a defenseman, but he has not been that good this year.
You're right. You're right. But neither has Pacioretty, neither has
all
Carey
of them,
Price.
Jamie.
They are
both down the line.
Here's the problem with that. I agree with you on an island. Weber and Subban, you can pick your poison.
Exactly.
But that team is so slow
that they
could
terrible.
Use PK's pace.
They could.
Weber doesn't have another gear. It's
and
not like
could,
he's missing a gear
could,
that he's going to find.
You're right. They could use PK's puck handling skills in that. I don't disagree with that. But
the word tire fire is the best description, because you go just down the line. It's
a mess.
It's
but
a mess.
Here's what I've learned over the years, and I think it certainly applies to the NHL. There is going to be at least one team, probably only one team, that is off to a horrendous start
right.
that will turn it around. Maybe it's Montreal. Maybe it's the Rangers.
Is it Buffalo?
I don't think so, because I didn't expect them to be a playoff team anyway.
Yeah, I didn't pick
but
them
But I'm
either.
Talking teams who you thought were going to be okay
yeah.
and either in or fighting for it that are off to horrible starts. Again, Montreal, the Rangers, Edmonton.
Yeah.
You know, one of those teams is going to turn it around, and we're going to look back on October and say that didn't mean anything. The rest of them, what you see is what you're going to get. And then on the flip side, one of the surprise teams that are off to a very good start
are going
to
tank.
Well, no, one of them will actually continue this.
Yeah,
the rest will fall off.
They'll be Colorado or Calgary from a couple years
right,
back.
Right, exactly.
So is it going to be Vegas? Is it going to be Jersey?
Vancouver?
Vancouver. Vancouver played pretty well. I don't know if you watched
the
game last night.
They dominated.
They're off to a pretty good start.
They played very well.
Like, I don't see it right now. I don't think so. And I think Vegas, now they're down to a third-string goalie. They're going to come back
yeah.
to earth.
Well, Oscar Dansk, yeah.
But 6-1, 6-1, I mean, you got to give them the credit.
They deserve as much love from everyone as possible, because I don't know if it'll eventually hit a wall or this team. I don't know if we give Gerard Gallant enough credit for being a pretty good coach. And they chose a team, I think, that could just play a system. They don't have superstars, but James Neal's a pretty good player. I think their back end is actually surprisingly
very good.
Quite mobile.
Yeah.
Like that Nate Schmidt, Washington can use him right now.
Oh, God.
Like but that team is pretty solid. But if you're McPhee, do you just continue to build some of the stock and maybe move some of those guys at the deadline?
Well, I think you have to.
Pieces,
I don't think you can really expect anything. I mean, they're off to an incredible start, full credit.
But even looking at, like I say, you look at the bottom, you're right, Brian. Like, Arizona is awful.
God.
Well, they're done. That whole organization
but you're
is
right.
a joke.
Like, so Montreal, Edmonton, Buffalo, the Rangers, and San Jose are bringing up the rear.
Right. Even Minnesota had a really good year last year,
well,
and they
yeah.
had a big win over the weekend.
And for those of you people that think that Arizona is trying to tank, I think they had a belief there that they wanted to be good.
I don't know.
Said they got a number one centerman and Derek Stepan. They had goaltending.
Why would you trade for Jalmerson, Stepan, and Ranta yeah. if you didn't think you were going to improve?
So all you stat nerds, suck on that one. Check
right.
that out.
They were
and
not
see
trying
how that
to
works
tank.
Out for you.
Now they may. I don't think they thought they were going to be a playoff team, but 0-7-1, like. Ricky Tocchet is probably
I feel bad
pining
for, Rick
for Pittsburgh.
I mean, what, he came out the
three
other day.
Three games in, he had to apologize to the fans.
What fans? Well, there aren't any fans.
I will say
for you
this.
17 people, I'm very sorry for what you just saw.
I will say this, though. It was brought up to my attention by the scout/management type on Friday. And
you can just say a guy I know.
Okay, but somebody who's pretty well respected in the league said, I was listening to you guys, so he listens to the show, but he said, you should tell your buddies, so I'm passing it on to both of you. He said, if Arizona wasn't in the league, you wouldn't have Austin Matthews. So he said, be thankful that Arizona's in the league.
Okay.
Because he said,
thank you, Arizona.
But it is true, because if Bettman wouldn't have put a team in Arizona.
Okay, I'll grant you that. Send this message back to your buddy.
They still suck.
I agree.
Send it back to your buddy.
Yes.
I agree. But get them out now because he's made it. He's here. He's in the NHL.
Okay, so you're happy now. Like,
just because.
But he was talking about the minor hockey system in non-traditional markets being grown. And he said, Austin Matthews is a product of that minor hockey system, growing up watching Shane Doan, growing up and playing hockey.
Jesus, you know what? If.
But it's true.
My uncle didn't teach me hockey when I was a kid. I wouldn't have played for the Leafs. It's crazy. Like,
well, I thought it was a good point, though.
From that standpoint, I'll give you that. I mean, Matthews has pointed out that going to the games, he was a multi-sport kid.
Right.
Very good at baseball,
but
apparently.
He could be
playing for the Dodgers.
I was just going to say, he could be playing for the Dodgers right now.
That's right. And listen, I was taking some heavy painkillers, but I was cerebral enough to know that this kid is still a beast. I mean, he's a beast. He's a beast. And the Leafs didn't play well over the weekend. They got a tough test tonight. LA's in town. LA's off to a really good start. And they appear to have found their mojo. But I think they're going to bounce back tonight. I think that's what good teams do. This is a test. You know, if you want to be one of the big boys, after you get called out by your coach, after you play poorly, and they did, they made a game of it, but Ottawa, man, that was an impressive execution of a game plan, and they played really well. Ottawa deserved 2 points.
I always get that feeling, it's right or wrong. I got a bit of a stinker feeling.
From the Leafs?
They got slapped in the face by LA last year, I think 7-0 in here.
Yeah, but LA,
I don't know. I got one of those vibes where it's like they're ready to send a down or two.
I think they've won 5 in a row.
Yeah,
like I think they're due for an off.
And they played a lot of home games, and now they're traveling.
We'll talk tomorrow.
All right, you can have that take. I got it.
It's not a take. It's just a gut feeling.
Okay.
If they play well and their offense is going, and they actually defend something they couldn't do in Ottawa, if they try that nonsense tonight, good luck.
Well, I don't think LA turns it up the way Ottawa does. I mean, Ottawa,
they just beat Columbus 6-4.
Yeah, but they also had won a lot of low-scoring games prior to that.
No, you're exposing yourself being sick.
That was a weird outlier of a game. The Kings are not the 85 Oilers.
You know who's an unreal player right now that's been forgotten about again?
Kopitar.
Kopitar.
Yeah, he's back to being a beast.
Dominant force right now. Yeah,
but Jeff Carter's out.
Yeah, Carter's out. They're thin up front. But they still have the system, they still have the goalie, and they still have Doughty. So you talk about goalie, number one D, number one centerman. They'll be a tough opponent, but the Leafs have to be ready for them.
A lot of news coming out of the Leafs today. We'll get into it. Roman Polak, we believe he's going to play. So they signed him, made that official yesterday. We believe he'll play tonight. Eric Fair on waivers. We'll get into it. Mitch Marner and his status going into another game on the fourth line. Rays coming up. We're going to talk about the NFL, that crazy game last night between the Pats and the Falcons and the fog and it's a wild weekend, big Monday nighter tonight, and the World Series is set. The NBA's up and humming. We got a lot going on, man.
I've been waiting for you to go on a Brian Hayes show type. Like, we want to give you the floor. Remember those things you used to do at the 3 o'clock hour?
Mm-hmm.
Rant? Half an hour by yourself.
I don't think I have it in me right now.
He just wants a break.
I'm trying
to break.
I know. Like you gotta
you
hook me up
on
here,
Friday.
Man. I'm trying
to
ease into this.
He wanted to run sound for an hour.
Oh, I saw the tweet. I've heard from people.
Oh, really? What did you hear?
Well, I told you yesterday I was in the park and a big fan because I look like a lunatic. I got this stupid knee brace on and I'm just sitting on a bench. He picked me off. He's like, are you Hayes? And we started talking. He's like, O-Dog was brutal this week. Brutal.
You know what? For you to say that while you were gone, that is garbage.
It is.
Lieutenant Dan.
I'm just saying,
that's hot garbage.
It's that loser in the park.
I will say this. Jeff O'Neill was really good last week. He
was
picked
he?
Up
okay.
the socks.
Honestly,
you.
I didn't hear any of it.
Some goon in Oshawa coming up to you saying, I was brutal last week.
I just listen to the
people. I've been
defending you all week.
Oh, really? How have you been defending me? With tweets calling me gutless on day one. Yeah. You changed the name of the show.
Yeah, that's
You're
true.
Pumping Scotty Max
well,
tires.
That was Noodle Stuff.
Oh, yeah, that was me.
And Mark, they all had different ideas.
Yeah.
We'll take a break. We'll have to try to make friends in here because it's not good right now.
There's some tension in here.
I've got the tweet of the day so far. If I was talking, I'd go full Costanza and just show up back in pit like nothing happened.
If you're Rick Tockett?
Yeah.
Yeah. Just walk back away from the bench and pretend like you're running the
assistant coach in pit again.
I wouldn't blame him. I'll bet you Phil Housley wouldn't mind getting back to Nashville, too.
Yeah.
Phil and Rick.
Those are two guys.
Two old school guys suffering from new school problems.
Buffalo and Arizona, not exactly where you want to be. Leafs Kings tonight, you can hear it right here on TSN 1050. Chuck texting in saying, oh, it was unreal last week. Hayes, you don't know anything. You were on painkillers talking to the wall. Figure your life out. Thanks, Chuck. Thanks for the support.
Well,
appreciate
Chuck. Thanks a lot, like friend comment. I met a guy in the park who was probably drunk, and you said I was awful last week.
You're just pressing buttons. That's what he's been dying to do, is come back and press some buttons.
It made you mad when we changed the name of the show.
No, it didn't. It really didn't.
Yeah, but, it did.
What bothered me was that I was still on Percocets on Monday.
Dude, you have no problems on Percs. None.
I'll say this about society. The amount of people that were writing me and texting me and were like, get off the perks, they're bad for you, you get hooked. Like, it's a real issue in society, is people getting hooked on, like, serious painkillers. And I was like, thanks, I appreciate you looking out for me.
And you're still on perks.
No, I'm not anymore. I'm on Tylenol, but I'm not on perks.
I used to do the same thing. I'd have surgery, and the medication, when I was done it, like, I would just want to feel normal while I didn't feel the pain. Toilet or garbage, gone.
But you have kids, too, right?
That's the thing. And the thing about perks, though,
I'm talking when I was single. I'm like, I do not need the issue of these things sniffing around.
Because they don't take the pain away. They just mess with your mind. You know, you're just sitting there in a haze for like 3 days.
Yeah, you think you're a wizard.
They take the pain away. Believe me, the first couple of days after my back surgery, I was enjoying it.
You were
life.
Feeling pretty good?
But I went right from whatever, the oxys or whatever was given, to Tylenol 3s, and then I was cold turkey.
See, I didn't do Tylenol 3. I went like right over the counter. I got out perks and then
because
extra strength or whatever.
It bungs you up. You can't move.
Well, that doesn't help either. I mean, your whole system is just shut down, and you drive people nuts. Like John tweeting in asking how my wife has been handling this. A saint.
She drove you here probably wanting to get rid of you for 6 hours.
She actually didn't today, but today was like the last straw. She was making lunch, and I made a comment that I should not have made about how long it should be in the oven. And I'm sitting there like a three-toed sloth on the couch, and I have the stones to say,
"That's Steph.
What are you doing at 375? Like,
I will tell you what. Marriage, when your wife does something like that for you, it generally calls, and I don't know what kind of ring she's looking at right now. It calls for an upgrade.
Nice set. No, I think it's a nice necklace or something like that.
You just say, you know what? Give me that one. You get a bigger one.
Nah.
Because I love you and you took care of me.
That's setting the
tone too
much.
Yeah, I don't think I'm going that hard.
I think you get a necklace or a nice dinner out or something like that.
I can't wait to get back to 100%. Like, it's amazing how quickly you realize how much you take for granted.
Yeah.
Like, not to get all sappy and stupid here, but, like, I had an experience. My dad drove out to drop something off. And now I know what it's like when you were younger and you went to your grandparents and you're like, I got to get out of here. And they're like, please stick around. He was going to the Leaf game last Wednesday.
Yeah.
So he was there for like 20 minutes and he's like, I got to fly. I'm like diving at him to stick around. I'm like, please stay. I'll make you lunch.
That's our poll for today. What do you think Hayes' wife deserves? Upgrade on the ring?
No.
Vacay? Or, when you get healthy, she gets to go away for a week and a half with her girlfriend.
That's fine.
That's a
which
vacay.
One?
Yeah, what's the difference?
I say upgrade.
What's the difference between a vacay and a week and a half away with her friends? It's one.
No,
and the
I'm
same.
Talking you, like couple, family trip, or herself away.
I see. Well,
I never, like, Steph never had surgery, and she sits on the couch and chirps me all the time.
But that's the one thing I keep saying to her, and I'm trying to bite my tongue, but I'm like, as frustrated as you are, and I know you are, because right. this is so difficult. We got a 2-year-old at home who's clingy, and I'm I can't do anything. I am losing my mind. I can't move. Yeah. I would do anything to have so much on my plate right now.
What you need is, like, problem is you probably were posted up, had the remote right in hand. You had a
barking just, out orders.
Yeah, barking out.
Asking for ice. Anything,
can I get an ice? Can I get a drink? Like,
meatloaf!
Yeah, we got to get that sound. The meatloaf! Where's the meatloaf? Yeah, and the thing is she, was you could you. Smell it in the kitchen or something. You're like, you burnt it. Mm-hmm. Or you did something. You're chirping. And she's probably saying, shut your mouth because you haven't done a damn thing in a week.
Last night, like, she asked me, what do you want? And we were making, I can't remember what we were eating, but I was like, and fire up some rice. And she made, like, risotto instead.
Yeah.
And I got there, and I'm like,
that's not right.
What's this? And she's like, do you want a crutch over the face?
Yeah.
Like, sit down and eat the risotto. Who the hell do you think you are right now? Go make your own rice.
You know what she should have taken? Taken the plate away, dumped it in the garbage, and walked out.
Totally. I would have absolutely deserved that. But then I would have been
gone
Lieutenant
a step
Dan.
Further, gone to the pub, like, ladies' night, and got just destroyed and come back and said, how do you like that?
No. Yeah, but they got a young kid. And
that's the problem.
The kid's running around. He can't help.
Nothing I can do about that.
It's tough.
But you realize, man, like, if you're complaining that you got a lot on your plate or you're busy or you're running around.
Believe me, I
take advantage. Because this is what's going to happen. This conversation is going to happen. The next time I'm back at 100%, let's say we're at the bar out there with a buddy and he's like, you know what? I'm gassed. I got plans tomorrow. I'm just going to get out of here. This is the conversation we're going to have.
Don't you say that. Don't you ever say that. Stay here. Stay as long as you can. For the love of God, cherish it.
Jennifer, why don't you try reading out loud for a minute, okay?
You gotta cherish it. You do.
I will be Billy Madison with that fat kid from grade 4. All right, we'll get back into the Leafs tonight. Leafs Kings, you can hear it right here on TSN 1050, pregame at 6:30. All right, Ray's coming up in about a half an hour. He's calling the game tonight. You can watch it on TSN 4. Hear it right here on TSN 1050. We believe Roman Polak will be making his debut tonight. Someone tweeting in earlier, and he brings up a very good point. I'm not sure that Roman Polak is going to be able to survive the new rules because he hacks.
He's a hacking.
Oh, does he hack?
Yep.
He's Ooh, have to, does he hack?
He's going to have to adapt his game. But the one thing that in looking over the 24 goals.
Well, we know he's going to have to, Jamie. I think the question is, can he?
That's
I think
the question. Can he adapt?
He's going to take some penalties, learning that. But I looked at all 24 goals yesterday that Anderson is allowed. They need to clear the front of the net a lot better. They're not hard in front of the net at all. And I think that's guaranteed. That's why Rosen got the gate. And
they're not hard anywhere.
Babcock's not happy with them. They are not
that was
playing
hockey-like.
A physical game. Yes.
They're not hard on anybody. They go in the corner. It's like, oh, stick position.
But you know what? That's today's game.
That's the game. And here's the
I know,
truth,
but
though.
Sometimes you've got to knock a guy. Drew Doughty will knock a guy on his ass.
I'm hopeful that will be the case with Polak, but he's playing 15 minutes. That's
it. Yeah, but they don't need it all the time from Polak. They need it from guys that are playing all the time. Jake Gardner, Morgan Riley. It's okay to try and knock a guy on his ass.
But
you can't keep doing that. It's too easy.
I'm fine with them. Like, for example, Gardner and Riley have to have body position, push and poke, but they also have to win 50-50 battles.
You can't have all those guys all the same doing push and poke.
You're right. But
like, Jamie, you play with a guy, Kasparaitis, where he could make a pass and get it out of the zone, but he also, in the corner, he was going to knock you on your ass.
And he would, you're right, but he was so erratic that in the neutral zone, it'd be a two-on-two.
He's just one example, but for the most part, he wanted to have a physical confrontation.
You're right, and I think that's where, I think Borgman won over Babcock from his physical play. I haven't been overly impressed with either one of those Swedes, to be honest. I think Borgman has the inside a track, obviously, with Rosen going down. But that decor in clearing lanes for Freddie, and the, I've noticed it consistent throughout the league, though, not just for the Leafs. The D are having a tough time with the new rules, and that's not even new rules, with the enforcing of the rules, because you can't hack a guy. You can't try and push on position. What you need to do is move your feet to get inside position and be strong on your skates. Easier said than done with how fast this game
works. And that's the truth, and that's where Roman Polak at 31 coming off a gruesome injury. I mean, I'm crying about my situation. His was way worse. And now he's walking into a lion's den where the team's already been playing. Team's off to a good start.
Right, right.
Playing a very good Kings team opening night. His coach is talking him up like he's going to step out there and be the best penalty killer in history. And the refs, I'm sure they're going to look at him and say, we've got you circled, man, because you hack and whack. That's what he does.
Chopping broccoli.
He chops broccoli. Yeah. And it's going to be a difficult adjustment. And I don't think Carrick's been great, so I'm not surprised that he would come out. Wouldn't shock me if at some point he gets back in and they try the two of them together. They did that in the playoffs a year ago. But listen, they're still 6-2.
Yeah, you can't
let's be honest. They're 6-2. And I know it's natural for Leaf fans, because of the past history, to kind of be fearful of what could be right around the corner, and you focus on some of the downside and some of the things that aren't going their way. They're still as good of a team as they were at 6:59 on Saturday night. They had a bad game. Ottawa played well.
Yep.
Full credit to Ottawa.
Well, and you could feel it coming, too. I worked a game that night, and I was sitting with Paul Medeiros, and I said, heading into the third, I said, this game's not over.
Oh, you knew they were coming out hot.
So they could come out hot, and if Ottawa got away from their game plan one bit.
I'll tell you what, that Ottawa team, that's a good team.
Well, they're solid. They're solid coached.
They're a team that you didn't think would be in the play. I think that for sure is a, from what I see right now.
Mm-hmm. I'll admit that.
Losing Bobby Ryan is just a crying shame. Like,
he played
this guy's
well
hands.
Yeah, I don't know. Is it the gloves, though? Like, I mean, is it a, like.
Well, he blocked a shot, though, wasn't
he?
But Ryan's had four or five hand injuries.
3 years.
Like
broken fingers. I know the gloves stink. I've got a few pairs at my house, but it just, I don't know if it's bad luck. This guy just can't stay healthy in his hands. And he's it's unfortunate because he'd played very well. And Derek Brassard missed all of training camp and started the season, and the guy's been on fire. That fifth goal was a Matthews-like release.
That's not on Freddie. That was a bullet.
It was a bullet. Like, it was a really perfect shot. Mm-hmm. I thought just the camera, the angle actually on that goal, you saw how perfect that shot was. But it was kind of a tale of two games.
Yeah.
Because Ottawa really blanketed them, and the Leafs got frustrated. And then there were some in-game adjustments to try and break through some speed in the middle. That's the Matthews goal, broke it through. And they got going a little bit. But then Ottawa, that timeout I thought was a brilliant timeout.
It was a great timeout. And then Zaitsev with the pizza and Jake Gardner played it as soft as you possibly could.
Yeah, I didn't think Gardner was very good. There was a couple guys
that top pairing was brutal. But the people turn on them. Turn on them all you want. That's their top pair. Gardner and Zaitsev is their top pair, and it's the linchpin of success for this
market. You see the nonsense. Like, Babcock comes out in training camp and says, nobody has made a bigger improvement than Jake Gardner. And then he has a game like he did in Ottawa, and I have people come up to me and said, I told you about Gardner 2 years ago. It's like, you were pumping him up 2 weeks ago saying how awesome you are. So knock it off.
Guys have bad games.
Yeah.
Dude,
you're allowed.
Listen,
you're allowed.
Twitter... It's probably not a good idea to rely on Twitter to get a read on what actual fans are thinking or the majority of fans.
Right.
But look at what Mitch Marner's going through now. Mitch Marner, I'm getting tweets saying this is the guy you got to move. Mitch Marner, got to move on from him. Can't do it. Too soft. Not a fourth line guy. Yeah, no kidding. He's not a fourth line guy.
He's top six.
What do you
player.
Want out of him?
Well, if I was
playing
Mitch
with
Marner
Matt Martin
and I had to deal with what he's dealing with, I wouldn't be very happy, because the other night in Ottawa. And this is where you kind of get pissed off at your coach, and it should motivate you to play better. Okay, Paul Maurice, you want to put me on the fourth line, go ahead. But then you start losing, and you're not winning, and you're not scoring. Oh, go ahead in the second and third period, go out there with some skilled guys and win us the game. Really? Well, if I was good enough to go out there and you want me to win the game, why didn't I start the game with those guys? Mm-hmm. And that's, as a player, you get pissed off because it's like, oh, really? You're in desperate need of me now? Well, you should be at the beginning of the game because I wanted to be there at the beginning of the game.
That's exactly what happened. They got down 3-0, and then all of a sudden he's playing with Kadri and Marleau.
Yeah, okay. Well, Mitch, you know what?
He hasn't been.
And there was
enough,
other guys in that Toronto lineup that had no business going out on the ice on Saturday night because a lot of them were terrible.
You're right. And Marner can be better. I'm sure if you asked him in a canon moment, have you been your best since the start of the year? No. He can be better, but you have to be given an opportunity. So it's a chicken or the egg. And Babcock early on, and I'll go back to your point, Brian, they're 6-2, so he can continue to hammer down on some of the guys he wants to hammer down on.
This is a learning experience for Mitch Marner.
It is.
And he's got one option, just to tell the coach to go to hell, because that's when I would always get out of it. I'm just like, screw the coach. I'm just going to go play for myself, my teammates, my family, and he's going to have no choice but to put me on the ice.
Well, and you know how you do it without... You just go and play your game.
You remember the first game of the year? Austin Matthews had 4 goals against Ottawa, but we were all like, Marner was probably the better player on the ice.
Marner was great there.
He was unbelievable. That's what he's got to do. He's got to just take charge, go get the puck, make a great play.
Here's the thing, though. A couple things on that. I totally agree with you, but I think his confidence is clearly shot. Yeah, just based on the way he reacted to that Oduya turnover. Yeah. If he's confident, he takes that in and dekes Anderson's...
Yeah, he panicked on it a little
he
bit.
He panicked and shot.
Which is not really
He was
him.
Like, what the hell am I going to do with this?
Dude, that's a fourth line move. Uh-oh, I can't believe I got it. Shoot it.
But he got it quick. Like, he did get it away quick, but Anderson made it... You know, Anderson, I thought, did a pretty good job of just trying to...
But my point is, he's such a special player and he thinks the game. He knew he had time. If he's got confidence, he takes that and he's like, I'll walk in and I will deke.
I'll try to make a play.
Or wire it under the bar or something.
So the wire move is the panic move.
Yeah.
And... Listen, I think that's an example, and he's also a guy, his skill set could not be more opposite than Matt Martin, because Martin is a head-down, through-the-wall, dump-and-chase guy, and Marner's a thinker.
Yeah.
Marner's, he tries to play the angles, he plays for space, he looks for open space.
The only thing I could say, and this is in Mitch Marner's defense, is early on, there's been a bit of struggles. They're 8 games in.
He's going to be fine.
There's so much hockey left to be played this year. And let's not forget, the Leafs are still moving towards being that contending team. They still have decisions to be made with Komarov, JVR. Like, I would argue that Marner's going to push his way back up in the lineup, no problem. But there's also going to be some moves.
Well, I think you mentioned Komarov. I'm not convinced that when Marner goes up, Brown is going back down.
No.
He's playing too good right now.
He's playing too well.
But that's the point, is they've got decisions to make that are business decisions.
Mm-hmm.
So Marner will force that decision. Plus, just the fact that, you know, Komarov is 30, I think, 30 years old. Mm-hmm. And they've got a decision with him.
With very little production.
Well, yeah, he's a trusted guy, but he's not.
I don't find him to be as effective, because I think he's maybe lost a step. And when he was on his game, you noticed him right in the muck all the time. And I haven't noticed that out of Komarov.
But it seems like he's playing a different role too,
because
he's been pushed down the line. Yeah, pushed down the lineup, right?
Rays coming up in about 20 minutes. We'll get into the NFL, tee up the Monday nighter tonight. TFC setting the MLS record. Giovinco went legend yesterday in multiple ways. We'll tell you about that. Overdrive continues on the TSN Go app. All right, Rays coming up. Leafs, Kings tonight. Puck drop at 7. You can watch it on TSN 4. Hear it right here on TSN 1050. Which means the Tap Man will be in the house down at the ACC, pregame at 6:30.
His mustache will be on fire tonight.
Yep, yes, guy.
Feeling it.
Yes, guy.
And Mow Your Lawn Monday, we're going to move that to around 5:30.
Oh, yeah?
Want to give it some space. We want to let it breathe at 5:30.
I'll tell you,
I've got the greatest one.
I've got a 2-pack.
I got a couple guys lined up.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I'm feeling pretty good about it. So we'll get to that at 5:30. We got to get into a bunch of stories out of the NFL, the NBA, TFC, Leafs in action, World Series tomorrow night. What a time to be on the radio.
I just want to get to one tweet that a chap sent out yesterday that was just legendary.
All right. We'll kick off the 5 p.m. hour with that?
Please, because it was just... So ignorant. So ignorant.
All right, we'll let you hear it. We'll break it down, and Ray's coming up to kick off the 5 p.m. hour.
That was a little choppy on the exit.
I'm a bit choppy.
But you know what? You've been good.
You've been very good. Good first hour.
I'm trying. Yeah. Overdrive continues, TSN 1050.